But it is my pleasure to welcome back into the studio three guys that I spoke to in the summer when they were a project was almost done. They were working on it. I think at that point you still had the Kickstarter,
right?
So, but now the Kickstarter is done, so I'm happy the film is done. Jason Polavoy is here. He's the director. Nick Jenkins is the producer, and Teddy Wachholz is the director of photography of what, you may ask, of the documentary F Your Hair. Which I'm not going to say the Spanish version because I don't know if the FCC monitors my Spanish, and plus it's bad. But we'll get into what the whole thing is. F Your Hair, the documentary, is part of the series Stranger Than Fiction. It will be shown at the Gene Siskel Film Center Friday, January 25th, Saturday the 26th, and Wednesday, January 30th. Showtime's 8:15, 5, and 6. You can get all the information if you go to SiskelFilmCenter.org. First of all, welcome back. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Secondly, congratulations. I watched the film the other day, and it was terrific. You know,
when I
talked to you the first time, I had seen the trailer. It wasn't, you guys were almost there, but it wasn't complete. You were on your way to do, running out to do other projects under the umbrella of One City Films, which is your company. It turned out great.
Thank you.
And I think when people get to see the whole thing, the power of the story will really come through, especially when you get to see the main characters talking about what it is. So, Jason, give us a brief, for those who are not familiar with the Five Rabbit Cerveceria and this whole thing, give us a brief overview of what the movie is about.
Sure, yeah. So, Five Rabbit Cerveceria is a Latino-owned brewery on the southwest side of Chicago. And they were brewing the house beer for the Trump Hotel in Chicago in River North. And when Trump announced he was running for president and made his now infamous comments about Mexican immigrants being rapists and thieves, they were kind of struck by this idea that they could not continue to sell or serve their beer in the Trump Tower. So they decided to pull their beer out and rename the beer to a word that we cannot say on the radio.
Right.
Which roughly translates to F your hair. And so our film is about that decision, the brewery, and the fallout of that decision.
Because, and Nick, you can speak to this. Anybody who knows small businesses, especially a small brewery, it's kind of seat of your pants for a while. You're not operating with a lot of room for error. And so for them to brew this beer thinking, well, this is a, and they say it in the film, we didn't really know much about him. You know, we thought this is a great business opportunity for a small brewery. So to make the decision to pull it, that had to weigh heavy on their minds.
Oh, absolutely. I think you look at, you know, any craft brewer and they'd be jumping out of their seat to sort of take this contract. You know, it's a high margin contract, as they say in the business, because it's beer that essentially doesn't need to be sold.
Right.
It's, you know, you set up the contract in month one and then they buy a certain amount of kegs every month thereafter. So it was a big portion of their business. And I think that, you know, we often talk about their decision as morals over money. And that's what it comes down to, is that they're saying, I'm going to let this go, but will my business survive? And I think that that film, you know, the film that we've created really helps to address answers to that question, is do they make the right decision in doing this?
Right. How did you become aware of the story, and how did you guys as One City Films decide this is a story that we really need to tell?
So this story was covered pretty well by Monica Ang at WBEZ. Mm-hmm. And so I became aware of it because I'm a craft beer aficionado and because I had been reading beer blogs about it. And I went out and bought a t-shirt with the new logo of the beer.
Yeah.
And so I had this in my mind, and I used to have a show on WGN that continues to run called Chicago's Best.
Oh, and I've heard of it.
Yeah, yeah. So I used to produce Chicago's Best, and we had a Brew Pubs episode, and I thought it would be awesome to get these people on the show and meet them.
Yeah.
And so I became friendlier with Andres and Mila, the husband and wife owners of the brewery, and I always wanted to tell this story. And so when we got together, myself, Nick, and Teddy, we were looking for projects, for documentary projects, and I I pitched it, and they kind of both went for it, and I convinced Andres and Mila that this would be a cool thing to do.
Now, was that a hard pitch? Because in the film, F Your Hair, Andres, and this is not to say Mila does not feel this way, Andres seemed to be agonizing over things a little bit more. Mila seems like, hey, you know, this is our decision, and it was a hard decision, but screw you, blah, blah. Whereas Andres, in some of the scenes, he looks like he was close to tears. Teddy, you were shooting him. Was that, am I accurate? This does not look like it was put on for the camera.
No, nothing was put on for the camera. You're right there. And I think this is not my quote, but Mila, I think, said, Andres is a lot more thoughtful than I am. So you can see Andres kind of really mulling over the decisions.
Yeah.
And Mila is just kind of, you know, she'll react to it and, you know, let's run and gun. And so you can see that a lot. And actually,
well, yeah, because at one point she says, he doesn't want me to make the phone calls. You know,
right, sure, yeah,
right. Yeah, they don't want me to make the phone call.
Mila is an incredibly principled person.
Yes,
and I think in a lot of ways, similar to myself, when you feel that way and you feel wronged in some way, there's almost nothing that can get in your way.
Right.
Whereas Andres just wants to make some beer. He wants to make some really good beer, and he wants people to drink it and to enjoy it, and didn't necessarily want all of the press that surrounded this, and they never did interviews about it.
No,
they,
and that's why I was asking about how hard it was to sell them, because he really seemed like he didn't, you know, they made this decision for themselves. They weren't trying to make a public statement.
Right.
He, you know, when Five Rabbit was lumped in with all these big companies that were boycotting Trump Tower and making a stand, he was like, we weren't supposed to be in this. This was not a thing. So how did you guys approach him and say, listen, your story is important. It's interesting. Let us do a film.
That was all Jason, but I will say, Brian, I think Jason's pitch to us was equally as difficult because hang on, let me explain that for a second. In Monica Ang, the great Monica Ang gets to this a bit in the film as well. She's like, you know, she presents this story in WBEZ. Some of the editors are like, oh my God, another Trump story. We don't need another Trump story. You know, me personally, and Teddy, I don't want to speak for you, but when Jason came initially, and I'm not a craft beer aficionado, so I did not know this story in its full detail.
I got to ask, is that, because when somebody, is that on his business card?
It should be. No, he's a really
people
big
know
craft
that
beer
about
drinker.
Me.
It's his only title. Think,
yeah,
people
right.
know that about me.
But, you know, when he came and he pitched the story to us, I was like, oh, you know, there's so many Trump films out there. How are we going to make something that's truly unique and stand out? And then, you know, we went to that first meeting with Mila and Andres, and, you know, the story kind of jumped out at us. So I knew we had something there, and I knew we needed to create this film. So
and it's a very local, I mean, you guys, One City Films, you're because we'll talk about your other projects coming up, but this is right in your wheelhouse, hyper-local, real, but with a national footprint to it.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think when we made the initial pitch to the folks at Five Rabbit, they sort of recognized, because they had not really done any press about this, they recognized the importance of maybe telling this story now. Because when the story initially broke, Andres released a pre-written statement, but really didn't do any interviews or anything of that nature. And then they kind of realized that he wasn't going away. Trump wasn't going away.
Yeah.
And, you know, the policies were only getting worse. It was rhetoric when it was him announcing his run for president.
Because this all started, again, just to remind people, this all started when he was a candidate. This was well before he was elected president.
Right. People lump everything. Oh, I'm sorry. People lump everything that he does together. But this was literally when he announced he was running for president is when he made the infamous statement about Mexican immigrants.
Right.
So they never did any press on this, and they thought maybe this is the time that we need to actually tell the story to a larger audience that can see this for what it is, because he's not going anywhere.
No, and it's again, it's fascinating. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the meat of the movie. What is happening? Again, the movie is F Your Hair. It is a documentary. It is going to be screening at the Siskel Film Center as part of their Stranger Than Fiction documentary series. The show times are Friday, January 25th at 8:15 p.m., Saturday, January 26th at 5 p.m., and Wednesday, the 30th of January at 6 p.m. You can go to siskelfilmcenter.org to get your tickets. And what's your, is onecityfilms.com?
That's
your website. Yep. We'll go there. So we'll talk more about it. If you have any questions about the film, 312-981-7200. Talking with Jason Palavoy, Nick Jenkins, and Teddy Wacholtz from
U.S. has become a dumping ground for everybody else's problem.
Is this what he said?
They were really just getting started, and I think their big break was that they were the house beer for Trump Hotel.
I know he was not the very best guy, but
it was not something that we thought about. We were just like, there's this account. They're pretty big.
Business is business. I mean, we were just selling beer.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Why, I don't know. I don't know what to say, really.
Hey, Trump is un... I don't know. He's an asshole. I mean, I can't believe that we're selling to them.
Essentially, what they're saying to Donald Trump is, you're fired.
It was just such a moral stand.
No, they're not saying that at all.
We thought it wouldn't be congruent to be making a beer for the Trump Towers.
You'll see it in the lawsuit. You'll read about it as soon as I file the lawsuit.
We all felt that there was no choice but to really do this.
I do remember being very nervous.
It's celebratory. It's not negative.
It's a perfect little middle finger, so to speak. It was something that took a life of its own.
It's the magic elixir for all of us.
It's so funny and ridiculous that no one can really say, oh, you're telling Donald Trump, you know, f*** you. I mean, we are, but...
Yes, that is the last voice you heard there in the trailer for F Your Hair was of Mila Ramirez, one of the owners and founders of Five Rabbit Cerveceria. In studio with me, the men who put this film together, we've got Jason Palavoy. He was the director. Nick Jenkins is the producer. And Teddy Wacholtz is the director of photography for F Your Hair, which will be screened at the Siskel Film Center as part of their Stranger Than Fiction documentary series. Friday, January 25th at 8:15, Saturday, the 26th at 5, and Wednesday the 30th at 6. Now, you'll go to any of those screenings and enjoy the film, but if you want to really enjoy it, Friday night, there is a reception with free Five Rabbit beer. Mila and Andres will be there. Yes. There's a Q&A after all the screenings, yes, but this one, it'll be you guys and then them as well.
Yeah, right. Friday is the big world premiere. So there's very a nice reception beforehand starting at 7 o'clock in the Siskel theater.
Okay.
And that's where you can get some free Five Rabbit beer and meet the subjects of the film, even though they don't like me calling them the subjects. They're the stars.
Yes. Well, they definitely are the stars. Now, we heard in the audio from the trailer about a lawsuit. Now, as you guys mentioned, we also heard the former sales and marketing director, Chompy, say, you know, business is business. We were just selling beer. And that was, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, if the president and then candidate had not made those statements, none of this would have happened. They would have, you know, they might not have, maybe it would have changed with a lot of the wall conversation.
Sure.
But at that point, they were just selling beer. And for a small brewery, that's really all you want to do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I think that was the genesis of this whole film and their decision ultimately. But yeah, I mean, like you said, who knows what would have happened with the relationship given everything else that's been going on with this administration. But yeah, it certainly accelerated the timeline of them stopping doing business with Trump. That's for sure.
So was there a lawsuit?
No.
No, there wasn't. There was and there wasn't a lawsuit against Macy's, and there wasn't a lawsuit against Serta, and there wasn't a lawsuit against anyone because, you know, he talks a big game. But ultimately, there's no grounds for a lawsuit.
Well, and the other thing, too, is I think it started to become power in numbers, Brian, because, you know, when Five Rabbit made this decision, it was literally the day after Trump made that speech.
Right, so and they were alone at that point.
They were alone. They were out there on an island by themselves, you know, and this was the first company to really stop doing business with him and taking that stand. And then Macy's followed suit, and then Univision and NBC followed suit. So I think as soon as the snowball started rolling, Trump, you know, what was he going to do at that
everybody.
Time? Sue everyone? Yeah, I mean, yeah. So I think Five Rabbit really took that first stand, and a lot of other bigger companies followed suit.
And those bigger companies, while they still have something to lose, nowhere near as much as Five Rabbit. Because if they, let's get to the nuts and bolts of it, they had brewed all this beer that they were supposed to sell to Trump Tower. Mm-hmm. Now they're sitting there. What are we going to do with this beer? What did they do with this beer?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, Chompy had a relationship with a lot of local bars in Chicago because they were selling their beer to them on a regular basis. And so Chompy and Andres made the decision to kind of try and sell the beer quietly, maybe branded as just a Five Ribbit Golden Ale, maybe just sell it as a house beer for every bar that they can get it to. Okay. But they made the decision to call local bars in Chicago and try and unload the kegs, and they weren't sure if they would be successful or not. And what they found was that not only were these bars willing to take this beer from them, but they were enthusiastic about promoting the story behind this beer.
Right, and that's you talk to the guys at Hop Leaf, and you talk to the guys at the 50/50 restaurant group, and they all seemed like this was a no-brainer because, in fact, the beer sold out that day within an hour, right, or a couple hours. They were done selling what they had, so all these bars took it, and then that's when these bar owners started telling the story, consumers started picking up on it,
right,
you know, along with the other news coverage. It really, things went fast to the point where now they're not really making that beer anymore, but they kind of are. What right. brought about the rebranding of that?
It was the seriousness of the situation. They continued to brew the beer up until the election, and if he lost the election, it was over.
It's all over, right?
If he won, as Mila says in the film, it's more serious than we ever thought. And so they decided that instead of making this a beer about Trump and about what he said, let's make this about something larger.
Right.
Let's make this, instead of a reaction to his comments, let's make this a proactive movement. Mm-hmm. And so they changed the name of the beer to La Protesta. It is still the same beer. So if you want to try what it was like to drink that beer on election night, if you want to relive that night,
right.
You can do that. But they changed the name of the beer to La Protesta, which is the protest in Spanish.
Yeah.
And they do different cans each time that they brew it. They find a local artist and a local organization, or not so local, an organization to support with sales of that beer,
right.
so that they can reach a larger group than just people who might be anti-Trump.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. And a lot of the proceeds go to help those organizations. Mm-hmm. It's a big thing. So they're even though they were the first for the resistance, now they've evolved it into something, as you say, proactive and positive. And we got to talk a little bit about, on the other side of news, we're going to talk about your upcoming projects. I want to talk to you about how it came to be that F Your Hair is at the Siskel Center. But lest we think that this was just a smooth road after this decision by Five Rabbit, we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about what the backlash was. Because as you can imagine, there was a lot of backlash. Despite the overwhelmingly positive support of the Chicago bars and other and customers. So we'll get into all of that. The guys from One City Film are here, Jason Polavoy, Nick Jenkins, and Teddy Wachholz. He's the director of photography. See, that's why Teddy sits there quietly, because he's used to just being behind the camera shooting.
I'm the quiet observer.
Yeah, he is the quiet observer. Before we go to news, real quick, Teddy, is it hard? Is it hard when you're filming? Do people want to come forward are they comfortable when they're sitting for a film like this? I mean, Mila seemed comfortable. Everybody else seemed like it was not that they were uncomfortable, but that it might have taken a little bit of coaxing.
Yeah.
Is that up to the other guys to coax them and you just sit there?
No, it's a little of both. There's nothing natural about having a lens in your face,
no.
a couple lenses, lights, and, you know, objectively two, three guys you've never met before asking you all these deep questions and such. But it's just, it's just making them feel comfortable, and you get that natural conversation vibe. And I think we did that successfully with most of our...
Yeah.
And you make everyone look really good on camera, too.
And I try
they
to make
do,
everyone
they
look
do
good.
Look really good.
If they get sweaty, I'll cover them up. You know, it's making them forget... That there's cameras, like I'm trying to forget that there's
a microphone
in my face right now.
Well, no, it's because it's the same thing. People go, I don't know how to be on radio. Yeah. Well, you know how to talk, right? So right. just we'll sit down and
sure,
talk.
Yeah, exactly.
So we will continue the conversation all about F Your Hair, which is going to be screened. The big world premiere at the Siskel Film Center is next Friday, January 25th at 8 p.m. The reception with, oh, Free Five Rabbit. You'll also get to meet Mila and Andres and talk to the guys. There's a big Q&A after. That's at 8:15. Then it's a screening again on Saturday the 26th and Wednesday the 30th. Go to SiskelFilmCenter.org to get your tickets. One City Films is the guy's website. More with the guys on the other side. But right now, it is a 5:30 on 720 WGN. That means
you gotta fight for your right to run.
Wow. Busted out some Beastie Boys. Oh, man. Five Rabbit Service. Not, they didn't fight for their right to party. They fought for their right to say, listen, you can't, we don't agree with what you are saying, candidate Trump, and so we would rather not do business with you. And that is the subject of the film F Your Hair, the documentary that will be screened as part of the Siskel Film Center's series Stranger Than Fiction. The world premiere of F Your Hair, which has a lovely Spanish, serious Spanish title, which we cannot say. It is Friday, January 25th. The filming, the screening starts at 8:15. There is a beautiful reception starting at 7 o'clock with the filmmakers, Jason Polavoy, Nick Jenkins, and Teddy Wachholz. They are in the studio with me, but also Andres Araya and Mia Ramirez, who are the partners, the creators, the owners of Five Rabbit Cerveceria. They will be there. There will be a Q&A session afterwards. So you can see it three different times, Friday the 25th, Saturday the 26th, or Wednesday the 30th. But if you're really into beer, I hear Jason is a craft beer aficionado.
That's right, yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe,
yeah, so, yeah. He might, so he'll be there for that one. Come go and enjoy some beer and then see this film, which, again, I... Thank you for sending the screener. It was really good. But as I mentioned before the news, we've hit on all the highlights. You know, all right, they made this principled decision, despite the fact that it could have sunk the brewery, the support of local bar owners, and they picked it up. Oh, they bought the beer, consumers drank the beer. Everything seemed to be going along, despite the fact that it didn't seem that they. Let's get this out of the way. This was not a publicity stunt by Five Rabbit.
No.
This was a principled decision. Andres, throughout the film, seemed to be struggling with the attention. They didn't want this, right? They just wanted to make beer and go along with their lives. But situations arise where sometimes you have to make a stand. Would that be an accurate portrayal of them?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now everything seems to be good. There's backlash, right? There has to be. What kind of backlash did they face, and how did they overcome it? Is it still a couple years later still happening?
Yeah, there's a couple portions of the film where we highlight some of the backlash that they received, specifically a voicemail that was received at the brewery and an email as well. And you know, it's the kind of thing where you have trouble putting it in the film because it is just, it's so hateful. It is so, there's so much vitriol with which these people are speaking and writing. And you have to wonder if they fully grasp the reality of the situation for people like Andres and Mila. And so... It wasn't a love fest, but I will say that Chicago was very open to them and really embraced them. And I think a lot of the
that's because they're
the,
here, right?
Right,
I mean, it's your favorite son. You're gonna protect your own,
right?
As opposed to if this happened, I don't know, in Austin.
Sure. Like, yeah. I mean, I think Chicago too has the second largest Mexican population in the United States outside of Los Angeles. So, right. They're in good company here in Chicago, but In other places, this became a national news story. They didn't get the benefit of a lot of that love, and so we highlight that through a couple different places in the film. And Andres and Mila both talk about how that kind of affected them, how that hate mail affected them, and it's a very difficult part of the film to get through.
It is. There were a lot of slurs directed at them. How did it affect? I interrupted you, Nick. You started.
No,
to say something.
I was just gonna kind of jump onto what Jason was saying there, and I mean, as you know, you've seen the film, but you know that voicemail and the email that we feature in the film they're very hateful and they're full of vitriol. And I think that we struggled as documentary filmmakers in how to present it because, you know, we're telling a real story, something that truly happened. We're not doctoring up, you know, and sort of making this look worse than it is. So it was already bad. I think we just needed to figure out the right way to present it. And
how do you, amongst the three of you, how do you decide, okay, we've got this voicemail. We've got the emails. It happened. We're documentary filmmakers, so we're trying to tell the truth. You know, we're trying to tell this story. What kind of debate went into using that?
Well, that voicemail, I mean, the voicemail that's in the film, that's the raw voicemail.
Right.
You know, that's the audio from what they actually left on the Five Rabbits of Aceria phone number. So that is as raw as it gets. And then when it came to the email, we were thinking about, you know, what's the right way to present it? Do we just want to throw some text up on screen and kind of have Andres talk over it or Mila talk over it? But really, we needed, you know, we're making a movie, so we needed some audio and visual components to go with it. So we had actually a voiceover artist, one of Jason's friends, kind of read the letter, read the email as if it was, you know, the person actually behind it speaking it. And I think, you know, the treatment was fair. We didn't juice it up too much, but it was it was fair. And I would say, you know, what we thought that the person writing it would actually sound like.
And it wasn't like you played six voicemails and read a ton of email. It was one of each.
Yep.
But you do have to, because that's had to be the concern.
Yeah.
The concern of Andres and Mila when they make this decision is, one, what's the backlash going to be on a big level? But two, what's it going to be here at home? Are we going to be able to keep selling beer? Are we going to be able to keep providing for our employees? What's going to happen because of our decision?
Yeah.
And that weighs on all bosses, but this suddenly was not just an in-house decision. This was a decision that now had national attention.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, Andres and Mila, we didn't include it in the film, but in the interviews, they kind of talk about some of the customers that have come in. And if you go to Five Rabbit Brewery in the southwest side of Chicago, you know, they have a nice giant wall of Bullies Aren't Leaders, kind of their Chinga Tu Pelo premiere poster. And they've had customers come in and want to try their beer, and they turn around, they see this wall of posters, and they'll kind of immediately scoff at them and then walk out, right? Because they're offended that, you know, they might not know the full backstory of Chinga Tu Pelo and Five Rabbit. And they walk in and they see this and they're like, this place isn't for me, I'm done, I'm out. So, you know, even today, 3.5+ years later, they're still feeling some of the side effects of this decision.
Is it because you mentioned, or I read in one of the articles, a lot of these letters and things were coming from far away, where Five Rabbits was not even distributed.
Right.
But, you know, the worry is here. So is it just sales are people, like you said, people will come in and they'll see the posters and then they'll leave. But overall, is this something that's, because they don't want to be known for this. You know, this is a chapter of their story, but they don't want this to be their whole story. So have they gone on? Things are more positive than negative at this point, or are they?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the takeaway from the film is that they turned something horrible and negative into something positive. Yeah. And, you know, regardless of how much promotion they got or didn't get or chose to get or chose not to get, they come out with something greater than themselves, something greater than their initial beer for the Trump Tower, and even something greater than what their beer became. This is a positive story, you know, when all is said and done.
Very good. All right, so now you guys make this film, you've got it. How do you end up at the Siskel Film Center? This is a very exciting story.
So if there are any filmmakers listening right now, we made just under a 40-minute film. And so any filmmakers will probably be saying, what the hell are you going to do with a 40-minute film, right?
Is that long? For documentaries, is that long?
Technically, it's a short, but it's not short by objective means.
Because I expected, when I started to watch it, I was like, oh, this is going to be like an hour, 20. I was like, oh, 40 minutes, that's, you know. It seems like a nice length.
It's a nice length, and I think we do, you know, we do the story justice in a limited amount of time that we have. But the problem is, Brian, it's 40 minutes, and so most film festivals don't want to program a 40-minute short, right?
Oh,
because
it
takes up so much time in the broader film festival world.
They can program four short 10-minute films in the amount of time one of ours.
I see. So they want them. The film festivals is that just a documentary thing?
No, that's narratives and documentaries. But you know, it's a challenge on the film festival front, but it actually presents an opportunity because when we're going to theaters, independent theaters like the Gene Siskel, who are just fantastic when it comes to giving, you know, emerging artists and new filmmakers a voice. You know, we partnered with this amazing film production company here in Chicago, Kartemquin Films. You know, they've done Hoop Dreams, The Interrupters, you name it, you know, in terms of Chicago documentaries, Kartemquin's probably behind it. They just put out a Chicago protest documentary called 63 Boycott.
Yes.
It's about the 1963 protests, student-led protests against segregation in Chicago public schools.
Okay.
It was actually just shortlisted for an Oscar.
Oh, wow.
It's a great film. And, you know, we worked with them to put together this double bill at the Gene Siskel. And we said, you know, we both have films that have to do with Chicago protests, right?
Yeah.
It's both are protest themes. Different decades, but they kind of have the same theme.
Yeah.
So we approached the programmers at Gene Siskel and we said we'd love to do a double bill event with, you know, Kartemquin and One City Films, and they bid it. They bid on it, and it's going to be a fantastic event. And so all the Q&As you mentioned,
we'll also have people from
63 Boycott. I think it's going to be a really good discussion around protests in Chicago, the history of protests, the mechanics of protest, you know, then and now. And overall, I'm really happy that we're able to do this double bill event with such a, you know, a storied film production company like Kartemquin.
That's terrific. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about being independent documentary filmmakers and what you guys are working on next. OneCityFilms.com is the website. You can go and get all the information about what the guys are working on and more about F Your Hair, which, again, will be screened. The big world premiere screening is Friday, January 25th at 8:15. At the Siskel Film Center, SiskelFilmCenter.org. There's a reception at 7 o'clock. There will be Five Rabbit Beers there. There will be the guys there. There will be Andres and Mila will be there. And then a big Q&A with everybody and the folks from 63 Boycott.
Mm-hmm.
All of that after the screening. All right, let's do this. Then there's more. It's WGN. I don't know how you're picking these bumps, RL, but they're unbelievably entertaining. Brian Noonan, we're here until 6:15. Then it's Northwestern basketball against the Wolverines in Michigan. Jason Polavoy, Nick Jenkins, and Teddy Wachholz are in the studio with me. Together, they are the creative minds between One City Films. They are the men who put together the film F Your Hair, which will be at the Siskel Film Center. What do you guys focus on at One City Films? What kind of subjects are you looking for your projects?
Well, anyone who's deeply compelling and interesting, I think that's a start.
Your story is fascinating.
And Mila and Andres fit that bill to a T. That's for sure. But we do a mix of commercial and documentary work. So we do some commercial and corporate video production, and we love doing videos for nonprofits here in Chicago. We've done a couple thus far. And on the documentary side, we have a feature-length film in production right now.
Really?
It's about My Block, My Hood, My City.
I see the shirts and the hats.
Kind of always have hoodies on us every day.
Well represented.
You're a good billboard, Teddy.
I think last time we were here...
You're quiet, but you exude the message.
Just let the shirt do the talking.
I think last time you were here, it was the middle of the night, and you were going... You were heading out. Were you not here because you were setting something? No, you were here.
No, we were here. We did our session here, and then we went down to Chatham. What was it 4 a.m.
We got down there.
Which didn't seem like a wise move. I'm glad to see you survive, because I remember commenting there had just been some shootings there. Like, there's always shootings there.
There's good people down there.
Of course. That's tough.
That was actually the kids we were following were going to college, so they packed up at the crack of dawn to go down to South Carolina for their first couple weeks of college, and we wanted to get them literally leaving Chicago, you know.
So this is all the same, the feature you were talking about?
Yeah, it was pretty special.
Still in production. We're kind of working on it as much as we can.
For 2 years now. It follows Jamal Cole, who you may have heard of because he's all over the news now. He was just named one of the Chicagoans of the Year by Chicago Magazine.
Yes.
It follows him and his program, My Block, My Hood, My City, which is an after-school program for kids in underrepresented neighborhoods, under-resourced neighborhoods. And so we followed three students through their senior year of high school in his program. And so the twins that we followed were headed down to South Carolina. So
really?
Yeah, we went to say goodbye and get their departure.
So. And how I would imagine it had to be very uplifting, these guys getting to head off to college.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And their
that's an understatement. It
their grandma
cool
and their aunt was there, and their little cousins. And
happy tears, sad tears, and some that I'm going to speak for all three of us, but that we kind of take for granted, you know, growing up. All right, I'll finish.
Sure.
I'll graduate junior high, then I'll go to high school, then I'll go to college and, you know, be an adult, but it's not a lock for everybody. And you know, a lot of these kids, they're the first in their families to even get accepted into college, let alone go and do it and take that big step. So it was really, you know, as if we're part of the family, you know, we spent some time with them. But it was really a little proud.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know? It's when you're, you know, when you're filming so much with some of these students in these families, it's like you almost become part of the family. Like, it's an honor just for them to let you in and put a camera on their lives. So, yeah, to see them go away to school, that was special. And then to talk to the families afterwards, that was even more special.
Is that the end, or are you going to follow them, like, now that they're at school, are you going to check in with them, or was that the final shot of the film?
We're continuing to follow Jamal and his life here in Chicago and continuing with the program, and we'll probably do a check-in with them at some point soon as sort of an addendum to the film. But as far as their role in the film, that's it. They graduated. They made it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So the My Block, My Hood, My City.
You know, I have found in my travels.
What's going on there?
All the best.
What happened there? How'd that... I'm not touching anything. I don't know how that
Max Headroom.
Yeah, that's very weird. We've just been hijacked. Yeah. Maybe it's somebody from the Trump organization. Yeah. They didn't like the film.
Hey, you never know.
So, all right, you mentioned it's a privilege for you to be able to go into these people's homes. Mm-hmm. As filmmakers, your job is to turn the camera. Teddy turns the camera on. You watch all that's going on. Have there been situations, or have somebody come to you and said, listen, I really don't want this in the film. You know, you caught something that happened because we're a real family doing what we do, but I don't want it in the film. Is that an ethical dilemma then for you guys? Because we're supposed to show things warts and all, or do you say, all right, for the good of it, you know, this little piece of information, one, isn't going to impact the film, but it could really impact these people's lives. How do you walk that line?
We're all very sort of, you know, open-minded when it comes to those suggestions. And I think that we consider ourselves journalists first and foremost to a certain degree. So, yeah, I mean, I hear you. But there are definitely some things that have happened. Jason, I don't know if you want to talk about any of them. But you know, we put a lens on, you know, a family or a situation. And it's like, maybe this doesn't actually need to be in the story. It's not just that they don't want it there, but it doesn't add anything to the story.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
it's just
not an
sensational
integral part. You know, we could use it to tell the story, but it doesn't need to be there. It's not an important, vital part of the story.
It's not going to change the outcome one way or another.
The relationship between a filmmaker and their subject, or a journalist and their subject, is a very delicate, sensitive relationship, and there's a lot of trust that comes both ways, but really more so that if the subject towards the filmmaker. And so you constantly have to be thinking about, is this in the best interest of the subject, and is this in the best interest of the film? And weighing those things against each other is a struggle. Mm-hmm. It is. Absolutely. I think what's great about, you know, the film with Jamal is that he has opened up his life to us for the last 2 years, kind of no strings attached.
Okay.
And so, you know, we do have some, we've had some issues here and there, but I mean, really, it's, he's been so open with us, and he wants people to see how this is happening, why it's happening, and why he is struggling to make it happen.
Very nice. Well, congratulations on that. Good luck with finishing that up. Congratulations on F Your Hair, which is now going to make its world premiere at the Gene Siskel Film Center on Friday, January 25th. The screening starts at 8:15. There is a reception at 7 o'clock. There will be a Five Rabbit beer there. The guys will be there. The owners of Five Rabbit will be there. There's Q&As after all of the screenings. January 25th, January 26th, January 30th. Go to SiskelFilmCenter.org to get your tickets for that. Go to OneCityFilms.com to see all about the projects that the guys are working on. Again, congratulations. It's good to see you again.
Thanks, Brian.
And all the best with everything coming up.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, Brian.